The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your mercy that you have extended to us at this time. I ask that you will show me mercy. I ask that you will reach out to every heart, prepare our hearts to receive from you, prepare my heart to allow you, Lord. I ask for utterance. I hide behind you and say, show mercy, Father, and move us forward in this journey that you are taking us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Says the Spirit, glad tidings, glad tidings, glad tidings, glad tidings, glad tidings. We've put a fragrance upon your leaves, we've put a sweetness upon your words, and so speak them forth. Offer your sweet sacrifice, offer them up, offer it up, offer it up. Yeah, for offer frene frene vona offering, offer it up, for we have put sweetness on your leaves. We have poured grace upon your lips. We have put ye levenas pastendes vacanyuns vacania tevele, even a fragrance of grace, a fragrance of grace, a fragrance of grace, a fragrance of grace, by which you must proclaim the glad tidings, the glad tidings. We've given you a glad tidings. We've brought a glad tidings. We've given you a glad tidings. Access to the tidings, access to the tidings, unfold the tidings, proclaim the tidings, preach the tidings, let it be known, announce it, announce it, announce it, announce it, and a sweetness will go forth with the annunciation, a sweetness will go forth, a fragrance will be oozed forth, will be released again, will be released again, make us glad. For we want you to offer this sacrifice. We want you to offer it. We have put it in your custody. So bring it forth. Offer it. It's beautiful. Offer it, says the Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Father. I receive it in Jesus' name. The morning star. If we didn't have Job, for example, we may not have known that there are many morning stars. But then we now know that when they say the morning star, we know who there's one particular one, that bright and morning star. And I like the fact that our daddies have been teaching concerning things that will enforce the inheritance that we've been called to come to take or partake of. Amen? That the brightness that we should come into. The enemy has done a lot in the body to truncate growth and journeying. So we become born again, and the first thing we celebrate that new birth experience, and we begin to focus on when we'll go to heaven as our final destination. But I have challenged a lot of my friends and even myself. I have yet to see any place in the Bible where it says, "Receive me and your reward is that you will make heaven." There is not a single place in Scripture where you can see that. And that is very startling for a Christian. I remember I was in a wedding and I just said it casually. While the wedding was about to start and I was ready to enjoy the wedding because it was somebody that was very close to me. And I said to somebody, "Oh, I just discovered in this beautiful, fellowship that I attend that the reward is not making heaven. It's been like him." This guy said, "What?" He took me aside from the wedding. He made me talk to him for 2 hours. We basically forgot the wedding. "I want to know more." I said, "No, they are calling me. I want to know more." He wouldn't let me go until I explained what I meant by the reward is not heaven. The reward is that we'll be like him. Now, that was startling to him because he had been a Christian for years. He'd been a pastor for years. And he could not believe that I would say something like that. And I asked him, "Show me in scriptures." And he was really digging, looking. He couldn't find it. So that was why I decided, okay, you need to tell me more. Amen? Amen? Tell me more. So the church has been deceived by an adversary. And the church has become deceived also that the reason we suffer financial hardship or any form of hardship in our lives, right, is something that is because of the enemy. The enemy is after all. That's why we suffer the things we suffer. The one time that we know that Satan will intercept a reward or answer to prayer in the scriptures that we are well aware of was Daniel. And it was simple. It's because that encounter, that answer to prayer, that transaction that was going on between Daniel and the Lord and the angels that he was sending had a semblance of the closing of the age. So Satan had to, "What's going on here?" It's like this guy is trying to wrap up this age quick. He's trying to stop my reign quickly. What is going on? Satan is not interested in stopping your car from coming to you. No. Or your house or whatever. In fact, he blesses men with those as a distraction. Anything that you can get that an unbeliever can get outside of God is not the reward. It's not the reward. Anything that your uncle can give you without God is not the reward. It's really not the reward. The reward is that we be like him. Now, he is called the bright and morning star. And that means we need to pay attention to what heaven did in him so that it can be replicated in us. I thought for many years that Jesus was sent to die for my sins so that I will not go to hell and I will make heaven, like I told you already. But I found out it was more than that. They are not interested in me making heaven. They are interested in me having the same thing that was worked in Jesus, worked in me. And the enemy is also quick to deceive us to claiming or confessing that we already have the reward that we have not yet received. Remember, Jesus came into what he came into by inheritance. And the scriptures also makes us understand that as long as you remain a child, Even though you be a heir, you are treated no different from a servant. That inheritance is not your own. Amen? They can call you anything. I remember when I was a child, I would go and visit my father at the office. He was a manager. And all the colleagues would be like, small ogre. So they are according me some honor or respect from being a child of the ogre. But I cannot give any of them orders yet. I'm still a child. I need to grow, come into full stature of my inheritance before anything will be given to me. If my father places any burden of leadership on me at such a young age, he's only interested in killing me. So he wouldn't do it. He would want me to grow, amen, to come into full stature, to be able to claim hold on my inheritance and to rule and reign in full stature with dignity like I ought to come into. And the church needs to understand this. And I like the fact that the Lord is unveiling more and more of himself to us so that we will notice that this gospel is the gospel in any nation. Any nation. Because the gospel that we preach here in Nigeria will not work in UK. When we say to people, are you suffering? Are you hungry? My Lord fed 5,000. Come give your life to Christ, he will feed you. In the UK, if you are jobless, they will give you money. In fact, some people are so comfortable with the money that the government give them, they never want to return to work. So the government has to do things to push people to go back to work. And unfortunately, some children have grown up in homes where they've never seen an adult go to work. So they've grown up from childhood, their parents were on benefits from the government, and they've grown up, and they've seen, to them, that's a way of life. So preaching to such people and saying, if you give your life to Christ, you will eat, it doesn't work. And that's because that's not the gospel. The gospel is that we will be like him. So, prosperity gospel does not work in certain places. You see a young man, so healthy, looks fit. You can't say, if you are afflicted, if you come, you become well. That will not work. The gospel is that we should be like him. And even when my eyes began to open and I began to understand scriptures, I thought as well that maybe, perhaps, the gospel or Jesus came to restore to me what Adam had. Because when you really look at Adam, you give Adam some respect. Your eyes are open to see who Adam is. Bible says he was made a little lower. Not man today. Man now is not a little lower. Man is far, far lower. You know, man has gone from living soul to complete grass now. Like that just the sun shines, burns it, it's gone. So that Adam, when you look at Adam in those days, if God takes you in time and you see Adam walk past, you would think you've seen an angel because we're just a little lower. You understand what I mean? So I thought, maybe that's why Jesus came, to restore us to what Adam had. I found that that's not even quite close. It's to be more. Adam was just living. But they want us to be living and true. They really want us to give us everything that Jesus came into. So our heart should be, what is it that Jesus did? What was his response as heaven was beginning to raise him up into the fullness of all that he became? Are we understanding what I'm saying? That should be our, and as we position and our hearts in that direction, everything will begin to come together. Everything, including understanding, more light, more revelation, more unveiling of mysteries concerning the kingdom and the things that we need to come into. Amen. So let's look at Hebrews. Praise the Lord. I'm just trying to summarize some of the things that our fathers have taught us from the day one. This thing is false. Because Satan can make us believe, I hear what you are saying, Daddy. Everlasting, like, okay. As your eyes are opening and begin to say, you are not quite equipped for it. It's a lie. You are the one that they made for it. You are the right person for everlasting life. Otherwise, the Lord would have told you. You know that scripture Mom shared? I was listening and I was almost in tears as Mommy shared that. Said, in my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now that's a loving big brother. I would have told you if there's no reward. I would have told you. I'm not promising you something that you will not come into. I will give you this reward. I will. I love that. Amen? Now let's look at Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. His Son he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath been by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. This is quite clearly telling us that the inheritance that he came into did not restore him to what Adam had. For Adam, remember, was a little lower. This one now has been made so much better than the angels. I remember when I was seeing this, at first, it confused me. I wanted Paul to compare Jesus with Moses, but not angels. Why are you comparing angels with angels? So it made me begin to see into the things that the Lord was speaking about so I could see why or what was so important about Jesus. And now when you know who these angels are and that Jesus has been made much higher than they, higher than the heavens, you will take note. You will take note. You will respect Jesus more when you know who these angels are. You know, it was only one of them that led 1 million people. It was just one. It was just one that led 1 million people through Egypt to the promised land. And it was that one angel that was responsible for their clothes not growing out of shape. It was one that was responsible for their health. It was one responsible for their food, their keeping, their safekeeping. I mean, these angels are it. You know? I know because lack of confusion in the church has told us that Satan is opposite to God. No, he's not. He's no match for God. In fact, the Bible makes us understand there are angels currently in heaven now who can take care of Satan. When the time came legally for Satan to be made under, they sent just one. There was only one they sent to go and bind Satan. We haven't seen it in Revelation. It was just one of them. Now that's the kind of person that Jesus had been made much higher than. All these angels. I mean, they are strong beings. You need to understand. Proper dignitaries. I like Marvel superhero movies, you know. Superman, Spider-Man, Flash, Aquaman, Incredible Hulk. Angels are far better than all of them put together. You know, with all their so-called superhuman strength. These angels are it. And yet, our Jesus has been made so much better than all of them. Amen. And how did he come into it? Because he, by inheritance, amen, obtained a more excellent name than they. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see that reiterated in Hebrews 7 from verse 26. Amen. He said, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. But he was made higher than the heavens. So he became us. He became us. He was one like us, But they did things to him, and he had an attitude that made them heaven. God said, I will reward this one with honor, with glory and honor. I will reward him. Because of an attitude that he came into. We see that clearly in Hebrews 5, the kind of attitude that the Lord had. That's one of the reasons I love that Brother Larry's song. You have come a long way from being just a man. There was a time he was just a man. They wanted to kill him. What happened? An angel had to tell his father, take the child, run. That was just a man. If they had gotten their hands on him at that time, they would have killed him. They would have killed him. Amen? Some of us think he became what he became because he was always God. No. He obtained it by inheritance. He obtained it by inheritance. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And they are telling us also what happened. Verse 4, no man taketh this honor unto himself. But he that is called of God, as was Aaron, so also Christ glorified not himself. So it wasn't because he was God. It was a response to his father. To be made a high priest. But he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever. After the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. And now he's being made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So, we will come into the things that he came into if we follow the same pattern. We will need that attitude of strong crying and tears unto him that is able to save us from death. If we do that, we will be heard because we have feared. Because we have feared. We will learn obedience by the things that we will suffer. And suffering here is not eating. Otherwise, it means if you live in a country, for example, like ours, where if you are hungry, they give you benefits. It means we have no chance of making heaven if that is the suffering we need to suffer. Lack of food. Do you understand what I mean? It means that the Lord is unfair to the rich, but only loves the poor. If we think suffering is poverty. No, this is the things that we allow. When we ought to, by right as it were, do certain things. But the Lord says, no, do this one instead. When we begin to allow things that go otherwise against our nature as a response to obedience to life that is coming to us, that is when we are beginning to receive what we ought to receive. I like that breakdown of how salvation comes. Light will come. You will walk in the light. And then you will receive that life. And when you have perfected that life, there will be a crowning. That is, I don't know any other description of salvation. That is so sweet. Don't you just like that? Don't you like that? But that is exactly what they did in our Lord. He came and his father was bringing him light. And he thanked God he didn't hide it. He acknowledged it. I do those things which my father does. I say what he asked me to say. I do what he asked me to do. My father. Everything was about his father. He did not even hide it. He didn't try to pretend like I've got it in me. Amen? So when heaven wants to bring us into mercy, amen, they will begin to bring light. Now, those lights, right, is necessary because if you find yourself on earth, whether you like it or not, you're already being told along a course that the God of this world has set.
That's the unfortunate truth that people don't want to accept. That we are all following a course that the God of this world has already set. And the Bible calls Satan the God of this world. So is he responsible for the systems of the earth? He's responsible for setting the course? He has his principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness, his rulers, you know. He has all of those guys in place, setting the course for nations to go. Amen? But mercy will have to come and bring us light from another direction. Amen? To counter the life that we already live. And thank God it's broken down. We see it in Colossians. We know it's the mystery of Christ, the Father, and of God. So when these mysteries of doctrines are coming, our response is to follow. If we follow, we are coming into suffering because it's not our natural nature yet. You know, all of us have our things, our infirmities, from either from our families or from tribe, whatever it is. That when light comes, it will begin to go against how we are framed. So that conversion, that's how we build. That's how we are in our family. We dey play, but no vex also. It's not something that you should accept as nature. Why? Light will come and take away any infirmity and reorder you. Put you on another course completely. Amen? Reverend Ken is from Benin, like I am. We don't listen to women where we are from. They don't have a say in any matters. They don't have a what? A say in any matters. Nothing. But when light was coming, I saw that, I have to submit myself one to another. If I want to love her like Christ loved the church, it means I will have to lay down my life for her. No, that's not, you don't lay down your life for someone who's insignificant. Or you consider to be insignificant. It's because you honor them that you are doing that. You honor them enough for them to take the best of the portions. So when you are sharing food, your wife has to have the bigger portion. Some African men are saying, yeah, pastor, Master Yo. Hey, Master Yo, hey, Joe. Don't go there, pastor. No, I'm telling you the truth. When you are sharing meat that is so expensive, if your meat is bigger than your wife, you are not doing things right. Oh. Or your wife has not eaten. And she said, if you eat first and you just clean up before you ask her, so have you eaten? No. Mama, she ain't. No, let's not do that. Praise the Lord. So something will have to come, another light will have to come to change my mind. To change my mind. I was struggling with something and I was praying to God. I said, God, I need you to fix me. Would you allow Satan take me to hell under your eyes? What are you doing, Lord? Will you allow my infirmities to remain? Will you not remove this from me? As I cried like that, I was just going to the toilet. He said, go and listen to your mommy, Helen. She has the answer to this infirmity. So I started listening to mommy Helen's messages. Before I knew what was happening, it was as if Satan had caged me in a corner. Freedom came. If I did not regard women, I'm dead. That's how Satan will just take me under the Lord's nose. Just take me out like that. Because I refuse to, my tribe, women don't preach. Well, you know, women have no say. Walk on respect, mommy. That's why they want her to preach. Go on, really, Nicolene. It's the men that have calling. What can respect mommy? That's why they ask her to preach. Yeah. Let her finish preaching so that men can talk. Ah, Jesus. Now, remember that when Apollos, who was strong with word, who was it that helped him? Aquilas and Priscilla. It was a husband and wife that taught him more perfectly the word. So much so that when some Christians were blessed of Apollos' ministry, they some young ones, they say, Apollos didn't pastor me. You can like Paul if you like, but I love Apollos. And it was recorded in Corinthians that some people preferred Apollos to Paul. But that Apollos was raised by a husband and wife. Otherwise, the Bible will not put it there. Amen? So, that culture of honor, the church will have to come into it. We need to have honor in our homes. Husbands need to honor their wives. Wives, we need to honor their husbands. Parents, we need to honor children. Children, we need to honor their parents. In church, we need to honor one another. It needs to be settled in me that everyone in that church is sent to bless and to pour into my life. This church is not better because I'm in it. I am better because I am in the church. You know, that's the attitude some of us give. When pastor calls us and says, why are you not in church today? It's like, hey, oh, mock, babe, if I'm not there, they will suffer. Pastor, I'm late. No, that's not your attitude. Your attitude is that your life, you are being made better. Amen? Because of the church. You see, this thing of honor, amen? We need it like never before. And you know what the Lord told me while I was changing? Because he had already told me when I was in the UK. Because I've argued before with him. I've told him, Lord, he asked me to go to all these places. I go there to be blessed and enjoy fellowship with my brethren. And then they will be asking me to preach. I don't like this. I was arguing with him in my home. As I finished arguing with him, he said, as you are going to Poland, I want you to tell them this. He just ignored everything I was saying. This is what you are going to go. This is what you are going to preach. This is going to do. And then he now told me, don't say that again. Don't argue with me again concerning preaching. So as I was coming here, even in the UK, he had already told me, bring my people back to honor. Remind them of honor. So I knew I had to talk concerning honor. And then I was having my bath this morning. He said, remember what Pastor Benjamin said yesterday concerning more earnest heat? He said, yeah. He said, tell them this new level that we are coming into, you will need more earnest honor. So the honor you gave when you were learning milk is for Christ level, you have to take it a step up. But if you want to come into everlasting life, you also need to take it another step up. So right now, I know I don't honor Pastor Alfred enough. For the next level I'm coming into, I need to find another way to take it up another notch. Right now, I know I'm lacking in loving and honoring my wife. Very well. Too glaring. I need to take it up another notch. More earnest honor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Kalianamato sukrififitalia ni meneno shiti kikaparanatia. Merci friki pataliani matoko prokoshite many mercy for many mercy many many mercy many 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 mercy you will need many 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 mercy for to heighten up your love life even your honor life for it's a high life as you are coming into this high dimension even high degree of words you will need to heighten. You will need to come up even in your place of honor and regard for one another. And much more for the authority set over you. Much more, much more, much more. You will need it. You will need it. It's a realm of high honor. It's a realm of high honor. The way the Son honors the Father. The way the Son honors the Father. If you want to come to the life of the Son, you will need to lend the honor of the Son to the Father. You will need to come into it. You will need to understand it. You will need to walk in it. Husband, you will need to honor and design your wives again. You will need to design your wife again. Wife, you will need to lend your husband again. You will need to honor him again. You will need to honor him again. You will need to honor him again. Oh, you will need to honor even the authority set over you again. Again, again. You will need to increase it. You will need to do more. You will need to do more. You can't settle. You cannot settle where you are right now. You cannot settle. For I am showing you places where you are lacking. Where you are lacking. And how you will need to extend. So that your works will be found perfect before me. So that I will find your works perfect before me. For I don't want to see dishonor even in your camp. I don't want to see dishonor in your camp. You will need to find grace. You will need to find grace. And this grace is flowing now. This grace is flowing now. You will need to begin to repent. You will need to begin to repent. Begin to adjust. To begin to adjust in your heart. Don't push it to tomorrow. Don't push it to the next 1 hour. Begin to adjust and begin to repent in your heart. Begin to repent in your heart where you have dishonored the authority, where you have dishonored your husband, where you have dishonored your wife, where you have not fully designed even the brethren that have placed you in your midst, even the church. It's a high life and we are estraying our eyes is looking for details. We are looking into details of life, details of conversation, conversation of godliness, conversation of high life, conversation of higher life. That is how you will profit in this new terrain. Hear the Spirit.
Amen.
Go higher. Go higher. Go higher. For I'm shining a light. I'm shining a higher light. Use this higher light. Use this light. Use it to go higher. Use it to journey higher. It will not be by your strength. It will be by my light. For the more you yield to my light, the more you come up. The more you come up. Don't ask how shall these things be. Just follow the light. Obey the light. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And you will find grace. And you will find grace. And you will find grace. You will find grace to do even the commandment that I will be bringing to you. For I'm already bringing them. And the way to obey this commandment is to follow light. Is to obey light. Is to yield to light. Is to believe that you are not yet perfect in your walk, and there are rooms for perfection. And I will help you. And I will help you. I will help you. I will help you. I am here to help you. I am here. My speakings is to help you. Is to help you. Is to help you to fulfill the demand of all obedience that I will be bringing to you. I will help you. I will help you. I will help you. I will help you. Just lean on me. Just lean on me. Just lean on me. Obey me. Obey me. Walk according to the prescription of light that is coming to you now. And you will find so much liberty. So much liberty. So much liberty to come under. To come under. And to honor. And to honor everyone even around you. Your brother. Your sister. Your husband. Your wife. Your pastors. Your leaders. See at the Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I think that tongue actually encapsulates or captures how it came to my heart perfectly. It was almost as if he was there when the Lord was speaking to me concerning this teaching. Let's look at Proverbs 29, 23 very quickly. A man's pride, this is Proverbs 29, 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. A man's pride shall bring him low. We're talking concerning the morning star. We're talking concerning elevations in the spirit. We're talking concerning capping. The Lord tells us, for example, throughout the scriptures, and even Pastor Thompson mentioned it yesterday, even after you've walked, of done works, you don't take any honor to yourself. You still have to wait, amen, to be capped. The Father was the one that bestowed the honor on him. We see it in 2 Peter from chapter 1. It was the Father that bestowed honor on the Son. Amen? But it was because of the heart of honor that he had. Amen? He had. So we need to be a people of high honor. High honor. We belong to the body. Amen? So we need to honor the fathers. I know there is a prevalence of ministries out there and people who tend to be ministers, as it were, who are doing well, who challenge the fathers and abuse them. A lot of people now on Facebook, 20 minutes of talk. This pastor in Redeem did not do this thing right. This is not right. Are they supposed to be behaving like this? Is this what the church is about? And we too, we are listening. We are watching. Going, it's true. Church. Hey, hey. No, no, no. We don't fall under that nonsense. We don't join in that. We will honor our fathers. See David and Saul. Look at David and Saul. Saul was quite clearly out of it. But David continued to honor Saul till his death. Not the kind of honor that I'm waiting for the Lord to take him now. So I won't say anything bad concerning him. We know he's doing wrong, but when No. He honored Saul in his heart. He was in mourning concerning the fact that Saul was not in the right path. Somebody came to him and said, He said, You dare to strike the Lord's anointed for what you have said. Kill him. That's supposed to be our attitude to people who hurt the fathers in the faith. It doesn't matter what denomination. It doesn't matter what they preach. It doesn't matter if they tell all their women to wrap their heads like Muslim. It does not matter. We belong to the body. We will honor the body. In the early days, when I was just getting to know Reverend Kyle, okay, Reverend came to London. You know, sometimes you need a little proximity to see these people beyond the veil. Right? Reverend was sitting in the living room. He was in his shirts and shorts just having fun. And he saw a Bible that was annotated by Kenneth Copeland. The way he cried with joy when he saw that Bible. See light. Nobody was there. He wasn't doing it for show. That's his heart. Just because he saw a Bible that Kenneth Copeland had annotated. He was as if he should swallow the Bible. Just. And I was there watching, like, what is going on? So we will honor the body. Amen?
We will not get into the foolishness of the trap that the enemy is setting to bring us down and cut us before our time. We will come into full honor because we will honor the body. Amen? The Bible says we should count them of double honor who serve in word and doctrine. So our pastors, we will love and honor them. We won't say, I came to Christ before. I don't know why Reverend Busi honored you as pastor before me. No, we won't do that. No. If they just give me this mic, people are just celebrating Pastor Benjin. Me, I have more charisma. I'm even funnier. Hey, no. No. I don't know why Reverend Busi will not call me up. Let him just call me. This place. Hey. Mommy says it is. That's why he's not calling you. Mercy. Honestly, it's mercy that has made them not call you. So that you won't die before your time. Every time they want to sing, they will be asking Juwan. Let them just release me. One rope with Juwan's voice. We will stop all this foolishness. Amen? And anywhere where we have a gap in the way we honor one another, heaven will show us mercy. Amen? Amen? We need to honor these men who labor hard. They face so much. Amen? And they are a mighty covering for us. Even before I understood doctrinally that I should honor these men, I had an encounter. I was in a meeting. I can't remember if Reverend Busi was there. And as I was in that meeting, oil was pouring on me. And I was feeling it physically. So I looked up. I thought the ceiling was leaking. It wasn't the ceiling. I was just having an encounter. So as I looked up to look at the source of the oil, I was taking up. And I saw myself like the way a fetus is wrapped like this. And then I saw my pastors ahead of me. And the oil was pouring on heaven on top of them, and it was the residue that was pouring from them that was coming on me. So that oil I was receiving in that encounter was coming from the one that had fallen on Daddy Lamikora and Pastor Azuka and on myself. So I saw it by encounter before I even knew what it was doctrinally. That I need to honor these men. Anything I see, any light, any reading of the scriptures I see and I shout with excitement because heaven has opened chapters to me is because I'm under these men. It's not because I studied the Bible. It's not because I'm good. No. We need to see this. And we need to pay more earnest heed to honoring these men. Amen? We will be a people of honor. Amen? That's how we will be capped and become like the morning star. Let's begin to thank God this morning.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.